Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92. The game on this Tuesday, August the 11th. Of course, we are going to be throughout the day reacting to the Braves. What are they going to do about now that Sean Newcomb has been relegated to the, what do they call that, Hugh? It was a term that that Snit used, alternative site or something like that.
I don't recall. I don't recall.
Alternative site, which is, what he means is Gwinnett, where they have the other. What's that again, Oren? All right, Oren. Yeah, you have to
alternate say, site.
Alternate site.
Alternate site. The black site. He's going to the black site. He's off the radar. He's off the grid for a while. I mean,
we know where Gwinnett is. Damn, where are they sending him, Hugh?
They're sending him to a black site.
Yeah. off the grid in Gwinnett, you know, down there with all the other guys. I guess they're just playing pickup games, so to speak, inter-squad games down there, I guess. I guess that's what they're doing. That's a good question. I wonder what they are doing down there. And throwing on the side and working out and taking BP and all that kind of stuff. Staying ready, that's for sure. A whole bunch of players down there that are just ready if need be. But let's see if there are pitchers that are ready if need be. That is something we'll get into throughout the day today. And, of course, the big news is going to be about college football. And a couple of questions here about rapid fire, about college football, that we're then going to turn around and ask you to weigh in on as a college football fan, because we can't know what's about to happen today or the remainder of the week. But before we get into any of that, I am curious about something, Oren, Abe, Hugh, from something Abe said earlier in the show, because it sparked my, because I had to think about my answer to this. Hugh, right now during this, lockdown and the pandemic and everything, how often do you shave?
John, I didn't shave before the pandemic a whole lot. I shaved my head, you know, I've just gotten back into that. I just got this Ghost Shaver. Shout out to Ghost Shaver for sending me one. I got a Ghost Shaver that I've been using just to shave my head. But I shave about as normally as I ever did. You know, the bald head and all of that. I do. I still try to keep up with that stuff.
Oren, you don't shave at all, do you?
I have shaved once during this whole thing, and that was just the beard. I kept the mustache. It made me look like Neil deGrasse Tyson, but like a creepier version of Neil deGrasse Tyson. So
you had a porno stash. You had the porn stash.
It was a mixture of like porno meets really bad 70s cop actor. Uh-huh. Just it was a weird.
So you was in a bag, using a bad cop porno, basically.
Yeah, like crossed in with like just that weird, like that weird dad mustache. Like it was a lot of weird genres mixed together just to make that mustache
sounds,
what it was.
Sounds like it. Sounds like
It's soon 5 months since we've all been together, Abe, so I haven't seen you in a while. How often have you shaved in that 5 months? How often do you shave? Abe?
I guess that means never.
I guess that means never. Abe not with us, I guess, right here at the moment.
I'm trying to think. So I'm clean shaven now, right? Because I shaved last night. So I will keep it clean shaven for maybe a week or two. Like shave every day or every other day. And then I'll get lazy and I'll let it grow for like 3 or 4 weeks or longer. And then I'll decide to shave again. So I'm super sporadic and random with when I decide to stay clean cut and when I decide to get lazy and let it go.
I pretty much shave once a week, and that's it. You know, I mean, I get lazy, and then I get, you know, toward the weekend, and I go, I got to get rid of this, and then I shave it. All right, let's get into the real questions of rapid fire. And, of course, there are a couple of questions surrounding college football here. Let's answer the big questions. Today we expect the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if you believe the reports, and again, that's all we can do right now is try and believe the reports. We're talking about the major media reports, not the, you know, Twitter rumors or anything like that, who say that, you know, the college football writers are saying that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will vote today, the presidents, on whether to go forward with this season. As far as Division I is concerned, the Mid-American Conference has bowed out. A few independent teams, Old Dominion, UConn, have bowed out. The Mountain West Conference bowed out yesterday. So if we have the Power Five and the other Division I conferences all bow out, Hugh, would your preference be, let's say they all bow out, would your preference be that they try and play a limited, shorter, 8 or 10 game schedule next spring and then next fall, or just skip the whole thing and let's just power through and go for a year from now back to regular college football?
I would say, you know, a year from now, just go back to regular college football. I would say that because it just feels like now with these new concerns that even we push it back, it probably still is not going to be right. So, yeah, I would just say just do it next year.
Oren, would you rather them, if they have to cancel football for the fall here, try and play a football season in the spring? Because that's what the Mountain West Conference said it's going to do. It's going to play a conference-only schedule in the spring and then turn around and play 3 months later in the fall. Or do you want to skip ahead just to a year from now and say, heck with it, wake me when this is over, let's play next fall?
Just wait a whole year. Dabo yesterday, there was another thing that Dabo said yesterday, and it was very well put by him. We don't know what's going to happen in the spring. We don't know where we're going to be a year from now. So trying to predict where this virus may be, if it's completely at a stage where it's controlled or if it's at a stage where, you know, it's still unmet. Like, we don't know exactly where it's going to be in the spring. So if one of two things are going to happen, it's either going to be played this fall or it's not going to be played until next year. I don't think the spring option is something that they're considering very viable just because planning and everything, like, I just don't see it happening. So give me a year from now. If it doesn't happen, it'll happen in a year from now.
When should college football play again, Abe? Next spring or skip to next fall?
I'm kind of in line with Oren here. If you're going to can it, just can it. The issues, again, are probably very similar. And I think you're going to have a lot of players opt out if it's a modified spring game. So if you're going to can it, just can it and try and hope we're in a better position next year.
That's one of the questions that we have for you at 404-741-0929, and we're going to be taking your calls in just a minute. Question two, Hugh, is about college football as well, and that is Nebraska says it's going to go rogue. Ohio State says, hey, listen, we want to play. Is it a case where if these conferences decide that they don't want to play, should we just have everybody just kind of raise their hand to individual schools that say they do want to play and say, okay, we're willing to play. Let's just have all the teams willing to play agree that they'll play and throw a schedule together, kind of a coalition of those willing to play, and then go ahead and play. Would you be in favor of that?
Speaking as a dad, probably not. Probably not. I would have a lot of questions. I would have more questions about this rogue conference and how is that going to affect, you know, my child and what's going to happen if said child catches the COVID. How y'all going to handle that?
Would you be willing to have a coalition of the willing if everybody just raised their hand, Oren, or no? Or you think it's got to be conference play and that kind of structure? Or could you just have a bunch of teams say, hey, listen, we're willing to play, let's throw it together?
You can't – just the idea when it goes rogue, man, like that word right there just kind of – it does something. So what was it that got a couple – I don't forgot who said this, but it was Mac Brown. Mac Brown said we need like a czar of college football. And so you have like a singular leader of college football, you can't have things like people going rogue and doing and trying to make them, because everybody still has conference presidents, everybody still has conference rules, TV. Like, you just can't do that. So, yeah, just not the whole rogue thing. Can't do the whole rogue thing.
A czar just sounds so ominous, though.
Yeah, czar. That sounds pretty ominous.
We got a czar. I mean,
czar.
Let me ask you this, though. If we had a czar right now, do you think we would still be having the problems that we would be having in college football where – conferences are doing their own thing. Colleges want to do their own. Like, would we?
No,
would we
because the czar would cut off fingers and stuff. If folks trying to do stuff all willy nilly, somebody gonna lose a hand behind that. Especially if you're dealing with the czar. Yeah.
Abe, should we have a coalition of the willing if the leagues don't want to play?
Yeah. Boy, I would love to see the chaos that would create with unbalanced schedules and all the complaints. It's just so tough to get everyone in a conference on the same page. I don't know how you get everyone that's not grouped together already there. But, boy, I'd love to see it. I mean, if that's the route they decide to go, it wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, you're also dealing – I don't know what sort of jobs are on the line here. You know, can a school president fire a – head coach and an AD for subordination, stuff like that. That gets really tricky. I'd be in favor of it as a fan, but boy, I don't know.
Because you wanted to see the art of anarchy. So you're basically saying Scott Frost might be talking out of turn
a
little bit.
Come on, Q. You know I'm just here to see the world burn.
Yeah, basically. I just want to see it burn. Yeah.
Those are the questions we have for you. We want to talk a little college football with you. 404-741-09 tonight. Should we play next spring? Should we skip to next fall? And how would you feel about the idea, either one or both, of the idea of you know, teams just saying, hey, listen, we're willing to play. Do you care whether or not it's inside a conference or not? 404-741-09-29. A couple other quick rapid-fire questions. We mentioned earlier that having a talk with my wife about whether or not we should go ahead and paint the house and or use a pro got me to thinking, Hugh, what is your favorite room in the house? If you think about, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, I love the kitchen. That's great. Is it really your favorite room? What's your favorite room in the house?
Bedroom.
And, of course, that would be the primary bedroom, right?
Yeah.
What
person in their right mind staying in the secondary bedroom, John? What you talking about?
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, that's a good point.
John, yeah, who you sleep at night, John?
Yeah. Who in their house sleeping in the secondary bedroom? Who does that?
Well, I used to. But did you never do that, Hugh?
not on purpose. Yeah, like, if I got relegated. No, when I got kicked out. I got kicked out. It was different. I got kicked out.
Oren, what's your favorite room of the house?
The living room, because that's where all my video games are. And that sounds nerdy as hell, but I'll take it. Yeah.
My favorite room in the house is the screened-in porch. What is your favorite room in the house?
John, you already know how many TVs I have and where they are.
Oh, true.
We all know where this is headed. I'm sitting right there all day. Yeah. So that's my favorite room.
Final question, rapid fire, and we'll get to your calls as well. All right, Hugh, there's a caveat to this question, all right? No Alaska, no Hawaii, no Jacksonville, all right? No Alaska, no Hawaii, no Jacksonville. What's your least favorite big U.S. city?
My least favorite? Big U.S. city. I would probably say my least favorite.
Or a U.S. city, a major U.S. city I would never live in.
Oh, I would never live in Milwaukee. Definitely never live in Milwaukee.
All right, Oren, I had to take Jacksonville out because I figured you might say Jacksonville, because understandably so, but he said Milwaukee here. No Alaska, no Hawaii. You don't have to worry about Jacksonville. What is a city you would never live in?
A city I would never? Helena, Montana?
No, a major U.S. city.
Doesn't qualify as a major
no,
U.S.
No, it's 30,000 people, no. We're talking a million people. I mean, a big city.
Oren, have you been to Helena, Montana?
No, but John, just like John said, a city I wouldn't want to live, and Helena just seems like a place
I
wouldn't want to live.
But how do you know it wouldn't be a great time?
Because it's cold as hell up in Helena, man, and it only has 30,000 people. What am I doing in a town with 30,000 people?
Bro,
you could tell a whole lot of stories about. Hey, you could probably tell a whole lot of stories about being African American in Helena, Montana.
I would be one of zero up there. Yes.
Yeah, especially with looking like Neil deGrasse Tyson. Tyson.
Yeah, that creepy mustache. The cop porn stash might be up there. Helena, hey, Montana.
No, a major U.S. city.
Buffalo.
A big U.S. city. Buffalo? All right.
Buffalo.
Abe, a major U.S. city you would never live in?
New York City. Can't stand it. Yeah. Too many people that don't need to be there.
No, I wouldn't want to live in New York either. New York's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive. Mine is Phoenix, but I'm with you. You can have the desert. You can take my 40 acres of sand. Knock yourself out. I'll give it to you. It's all yours. All right, let's talk to you. Little college football here, 404-741-0929. You tell us what you think as a college football fan should happen now. Should we play in the spring? Should we skip to next fall? Or should we form a coalition of the willing and play this fall? All ahead next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99, The Game, after a CBS Sports Minute.
And then at the end of the day, it's the, you know, I really want to present it to our players and to our parents and to our coaches and to say, well, what do you guys think? Is this safe enough for you to play football? And, you know, we're not there right now to go play games, but I think we can get there. It changes every day. The virus changes every day, and we're learning every day. So let's just keep pushing this thing along and see if we can't, you know, find a really good way to show that this is a safe way and that you know, people feel comfortable playing.
Ryan Day, Ohio State head coach, joining those thinking, hey, listen, let's not be so hasty here. Let's see if we can't find a way to play this fall here. And the Big Ten is supposed to vote today on whether or not to play this fall. Ohio State kind of wants to play. Nebraska certainly wants to play. Michigan says it wants to play. So our question to you is here, the SEC and the ACC are kind of looking and casting a wary eye at the Big Ten and the Pac-12 going, what are you guys going to do? We want to play, and you guys are going to go out there and throw us under the bus by saying you're not? Come on, you're going to kill us here. Are we in this together or not? Apparently not you. I mean, they have not. They may be the Power Five, but they are not under one umbrella. They are certainly not aligned, that's for sure. And the big question that we have for you this morning, if there is no college football this fall, what do we do if the conferences decide that they're not going to play? Should we just skip to the spring, which the Mountain West Conference is going to do? Should we just skip a year ahead to next fall? Or, Hugh, should there be a bunch of teams that are willing to play? Let's say Georgia and Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Michigan, all these teams that want to play, Texas and whatnot. Should they just all kind of get together on a coalition of the willing and say, all right, can we all figure it out and figure out a schedule and play college football?
John, I hear all of that, but I think that there's a lot more moving parts to it than you know, the way it sounds, you know, because you still got to – figure out, you know, you're talking about teams logistically, how to get there, and, you know, the whole, you know, hotel situation. Now, I understand that, you know, some teams' coffers are bigger than others, and they can do that, but that's still a whole lot that you're trying to hash out in a month's time, and you don't even know whether or not we're playing football today. We don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then for you to sit there and now all of a sudden put together – piecemeal this schedule together with all these different teams that want to play and then logistically figure out where they're staying and all that other stuff, that's a whole lot to get done in a month's time.
No question about that. Yeah, it is a massive undertaking, that's true. How do you feel about what's going to happen today, and what do you expect for college football? What do you want to see for college football? Should we play in the spring? Should we play now? Should we play next fall? Kevin joins us here. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Kevin.
I don't think we can play this spring. I believe what Trevor Lawrence said, you know, just having you're going to play in the spring, you're going to play a fall game, that's less safe than the coronavirus. But I like the coalition idea just for me as a fan standpoint. I mean, I'm looking separated the top 22 teams into two divisions, and I'm looking at, like, who Georgia would play. It'd be Clemson, LSU, Florida, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, UNC, Vautech, USC, Utah. Does that not sound amazing? I mean, that'd be the funnest college football season of all time. You know, but that's a pipe dream that probably never happened, and, you know, more likely it's going to get canceled. But, you know, we can always want, right?
Yeah, well,
I think you and John Freaky kind of in the same boat, man, because both of y'all kind of, you know, when y'all answered that question about potentially playing, both of y'all sounded real giddy about it. But I think logistically that would just be hard to put together in such a short period of time. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but that would definitely be hard to put together in a short period of time.
What should we do about college football today? 404-741-0929. No question, Hugh. I'm not debating any of that. Obviously, logistically, it would be a nightmare here. But, you know, I also think that, you know, I'm firmly in the let's play category. I think that if everybody else is playing, that – and, again, this is my take. I know that some people, because I got my phone, a couple of people are taking, hey, well, you know, you don't care about the player's safety. All I can tell you is what they say. I do care about the players' safety because the players say that they are safer by staying in their little bubble and playing football than they would be if they weren't. So I'm missing that safer part. If the players and coaches and ADs are saying, look, the players are going to be safer in the bubble and playing college football than if we just disperse them into the wider world here, then which part is safer am I missing here?
I mean, it all depends on who you believe, John. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you'll take the word over administrators and ADs and stuff who got, you know, something to gain from all this as opposed to other folks, like scientists. That's what it kind of sounds like.
Well, but they, I think know. They, well, Hugh, they have their own. They say they have their own medical experts.
Okay, who is they, John?
Well, I don't know. I don't know any of the medical experts are.
That's the question you need to be asking because I keep hearing they. I keep hearing they.
Well, the players say that they have their own medical experts.
Okay, John, but nobody's putting their name behind any I know. Of this. So you're excited about it because they're saying it. But who is they? That would be the first thing that my mother would ask me. Hey, Mom, you know, they say it's okay to play outside. Who is they? Who is they? Who are these people that are saying it's okay? Like, just because Trevor Lawrence said it's okay. I'm not disputing that, John, but it's just like, you know, it's like, okay, you're telling me this, that, and the third. For the last couple days, John, I've been hearing, hey, my sources are telling me there's some strong possibility that this. I'm not going off of any of that. None of that makes me feel comfortable at all, especially when you're talking about people who can't even put their name behind something that they're saying. That makes you comfortable?
Well, I think when the coaches talk about the fact that
you mean the same coaches that are talking about damn Corona, we just gonna go out there and play those guys.
Well, no, when the coaches talk about the fact that they have, you know, at these major schools, we're not talking about the smaller schools, but they have all these protocols. They have team trainers. They have, you know, team doctors. They have, you know, experts on campus. They're able to monitor all the players on a daily basis. They're able to deal with the players every single day, as opposed to, and so that you know, they hold a responsibility to the health and well-being of the players, as opposed to just saying goodbye and having those players go out into, in a lot of cases, just out to the wider world here. We're just letting them go, and they go back home to wherever they're going to go to, Hugh. So I think the coaches are saying, look, we have all this at our disposal here as a head coach. We have all this medical knowledge. We have all this medical devices and everything to take care of the players. We can put them on a routine. We can monitor them. We can keep them close. So therefore, that alone makes it safer than just saying, good luck to you, go wherever you're going to go.
Okay, so you don't have a problem with all of a sudden Ohio State putting out a schedule last week, and now all of a sudden they're at the forefront of talking about, ho, wait a minute, we're going to pump our brakes. We got to look at this a little bit deeper after they've already put a schedule. You have no problem with none of that just because of some trainers and athletic directors.
Well, no, it wasn't. Cool. I mean, it was the president of Ohio State. It wasn't Gene Smith. I mean, Gene Smith.
No, but I'm saying, but my point is this, John, they put out a schedule.
Right, the athletic directors and the commissioner did, not the presidents, right.
Okay, but now all of a sudden it's changed. I mean, that it's changed that quickly. Okay, and so you don't have a problem with what has changed over these last couple of days? You don't have a problem with asking that question? Just because you believe that the right people have gotten involved, and everything is okay now?
No. I think you're missing the point. The presidents hadn't weighed in. What we had was,
okay,
we had
the... Okay, but that's what I'm saying, John. You're talking about major universities that are making moves and the presidents haven't weighed in. So that even gives me more cause for concern. Okay, why all of a sudden now you're weighing in? You didn't weigh in before when we set out the schedule. That doesn't bother you at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a disconnect, yes, between the presidents and the athletic directors. There's no question of that.
Okay, but it's Zach okay. But that's okay. You're still willing to play the season.
Well, I mean, I trust the coaches more than I guess I do the presidents. Yeah.
Okay.
The coaches are with their players. The presidents aren't. Okay. I guess that's where I fall. Zach is joining us. Good morning to you, Zach.
Hey guys.
Good morning.
Morning. I actually get what both of y'all are saying. I get what John's saying about, you know, they're saying that and the medical experts and all that and the players, the coaches. Also get what you're saying, Hugh, about, you know, who are they that's saying that. My thing, the way I look at it, as what you can't go off everything that Trevor Lawrence said, but I do agree that, you know, I think you look at it and there's a lot of, I would say 75% of these players come from low-income areas. I would want my kid, if they were coming from a low-income area, which is a lot of these kids, I would personally want my kid to be there getting tested three times a week or how much ever it is, and getting the best possible medical care instead of it coming out of my pocket or me being here and you know, having to deal with that. I think they're in better hands as far as medical care and expenses and all of that with playing college football instead of being at home.
Thanks, guys.
It's Zach Wing in here. I, Hugh, all I knew is, it's just a matter of, who do you think, who do you trust? I see what's going on in sports now, and
I mean, I don't trust anybody, especially when we just a couple days ago, we are all giddy. We were just all giddy about the schedule being out. Now, all of a sudden, we hear about some heart scarring, and all of a sudden that this information just came out, and now all of a sudden everybody, we got to change our heart. We got to see what's going on.
Yeah, I know. Okay. The heart scarring wouldn't exist if they went out to the wider world. It only exists if it's inside of a college football bubble. That whole thing I thought was a little bit odd. Pick six, most overrated moments in sports history is what it says. We'll do that next as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and worldwide at radio.com. Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, pick six time. More reaction, of course, on our Twitter, talking about college football. Actually, Oren, before we get to the pick six, Abe, Hugh Oren brought up a really good point. We should probably talk about it a little bit tomorrow. We're going to find out now just how powerful the SEC is.
To see if they have a season or not?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think the SEC is probably gung-ho about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out how powerful they are. Yeah,
I mean, if everybody in the SEC plays, I think that's all people watch anyway. So, yeah, it would be.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
It's a really good point, Oren. We have to take you up on that one. All right, I don't want to dissuade from the pick six, though. I got to ask a question about the pick six. Abe, you got a list of six here that I'm really, normally I write out like six or seven answers. Now I'm looking at your list here. I've tried to come up with one or two. I think I need a little bit more guidance into what you're going for on this list.
Yeah, this one's going to be tough, John. I don't have a ton of guidance for you. It's just six moments that have been
I've heard this one all week. This is the second time I've heard this week.
Yeah, just a little bit too much made about them. This is going to be one. I'd be shocked how many you guys get without massive hints. I think everyone's going to have a ridiculously different list, and there's probably a ton of great suggestions and options. But this sounds like fun, Hugh, doesn't it? So why you put these hard-ass lists together?
I know.
Well, I'm interested to see what sports moments you guys think maybe are a little overrated.
Hey, so you could just say I'm wrong? Is that basically what you're doing this for? You just humiliate
the
me.
Most overrated moments in sports history. Any Yankees World Series title. How about that?
Not sure how those are all overrated, but let me check the list. No, there is a Yankee moment on here. But I don't know if blindly giving you a Yankee title is allowable here.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds a little petty.
Yeah.
It's my guess.
You got it, Hugh.
Okay. I'm going to say the original Hail Mary, Doug Flutie's Hail Mary.
Interesting. Why is it overrated to you, Hugh? I guess is more relevant question.
Because it was just one of those plays. Nobody blocked well on that play. I mean, he just got lucky. He just threw it up in the air and just got lucky. It was an overrated play.
Yeah. No, understandable. Good answer. Didn't make my list.
I'm on the right track.
It's interesting to hear.
No.
There are some college football moments, if that's what you're asking. But okay. There's one college football moment. Add to one college basketball moment as well.
Ooh, can I get another guess?
Sure, go ahead.
What was it? Christian Laettner play.
The that's another one. Interesting suggestion. To me, those moments. I mean, look, that play being like the signifying moment of college basketball history is an interesting discussion. But I don't know if it's necessarily overrated. It did directly eventually lead to a title. So I'll allow it.
Okay. Well, at least I'm trying to guess, A, with this hard-ass list that
you put together.
These aren't bad guesses.
Ben Johnson's 100-meter record. I don't know.
No, I didn't go with anyone that, like, after the fact had it pulled away. I didn't go with any Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Lance Armstrong, anything, you know, that was rated one thing at the moment and then a different thing later. I didn't go with.
All right, so why don't you do me a favor here. At least give us the category. You said there's one college football.
Well, you got a Yankees moment.
All right, does Yankees moment involve Derek Jeter?
It does.
Does it involve Derek Jeter? What was it, Hugh, that he gave out the boxes or something? Remember that?
He gave out signed
baseball.
No,
it's all sports moments. It's all sports moments.
Well, is that a sports-related moment?
No, it's not.
Well, you kill it. You just make it, boy, you killed that.
Well, you already know it's Derek Jeter. There are only a couple possible plays here that people think of.
All right, well, which one did you pick? So we don't sit here and go down the list.
Well, there's two plays.
Credit me with Derek Jeter being one.
Yeah, entertain us.
The Jeter flip to nail Giambi at the plate is a massively, massively overrated play, in my opinion. I think Giambi, one, is safe if he slides. I think, two, he's out either way because Jeter slowed the ball down. Yes, he redirected the ball, but he slowed it down so much. I think the catcher still is able to grab the ball and apply the tag, even if Jeter never touches the ball. I think it's a massively overrated play. And for a number of reasons, Giambi should have just slid. He would have been safe. So the Jeter flip, one of the signifying moments in, well, I mean, let's be honest, a career that's somewhat overrated in terms of performance.
That's why I knew it was Derek Jeter from the jump, because he doesn't like Derek Jeter. He's made that clear.
I don't mind Derek Jeter. I have no problems with Jeter. I'm just realistic about what he accomplished.
Whoa, it's overrated. Okay. A Hall of Fame is a college, overrated?
Yeah. Is a college football moment Kevin Moen and the Stanford band?
No, it is not. That's a good answer, though. But that's not it.
I'm still stuck on this. Dave Jeter's whole career was just a lie.
I didn't go that far.
There's one college basketball moment.
Hey, how about
one college basketball and one college football moment? Let's go with this. College football moment features a Heisman winner of the past 15 years and a guy who is no longer in the NFL.
Tim Tebow.
Okay, you've got Tim Tebow. Is there a moment for you guys that would make sense here?
Is that a good guess? That's a guess?
Tim Tebow is the guy I have on the list. But is there a moment here for you guys that makes sense?
Yes,
to
the jump
further
pass.
Expand upon
the jump pass.
That's not the moment, John. But that is a really good guess, and actually makes a ton of sense. Not the one that I went with for Tim Tebow. For me, I went with the speech, the Tebow promise. After Mississippi State, everyone wants to point to that as being the turning point of a championship season.
He made a promise?
Yeah, I thought it was a sports moment here. I thought we were doing what we were talking about, Derek Jeter's gift box.
You'll never see anyone compete, blah, blah, blah. Look, yeah, okay. And they went on a run and went the – look, they lost the game. That was a championship team either way. I don't think he inspired them to do anything they weren't already headed towards. So that's me. Okay, guys.
All right, college basketball.
We have an NBA moment. An NBA moment that took place during the All-Star weekend. Not in the All-Star game, but during All-Star weekend. There's two moments that were highly debated. One of these was on
Blake Griffin jumping over the car.
Okay, that's the moment that was debated with this moment. That was very, very close, John, to being considered. But in the end, I went with this because it kind of ticks me off a little bit more.
Cedric Ceballos, not really blindfolded.
No. That's a good one, too. Do you guys remember Nate Robinson winning the slam dunk contest?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Won it twice, didn't he?
Do you remember how many times he missed the dunk he ended up winning with?
No.
I think it was a couple times, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's a couple there. He attempted like 28 dunks before he finally made it. And to crown him champion, it's nah. I have one moment I think people always point to. John goes back a little bit, Knicks history.
Yeah, all right. You mean Willis Reed hobble on the court?
Could there? That was the inspiration for the list. Willis Reed hobbling back on the court. What did he play? 3 minutes when he got back on the court? Did he do anything in those few minutes? I get the inspiration crap, but nah. Sorry, I'm not buying it. He played with a torn thigh muscle for 94 seconds or whatever it was. And I know if there's any New Yorkers here, they'd probably get on me for that. But I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it.
All I see.
An NFL moment. John Fricke features a quarterback that you despise. Not Josh Allen, sorry. A different quarterback you despise.
Okay, Hugh, it's Drew Brees.
Yes, it is.
Or... overrated Drew Brees moment. I'm trying to think here.
There's so many to choose from. Like what? Take your pick, John Fricke.
All right. I'll go with Drew Brees because we're going to run it. We got 60 seconds left here, and we got to get through these two. Just tell me which one.
When Drew Brees set the all-time passing touchdown mark, and they stopped the game and gave him a speech and took pictures and his kids came on the field.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
You hated that?
You knew it was a matter of time till he reached that record. This isn't Cal Ripken where he's been, it was only a matter of time till he reached the record. What are you laughing at, you?
I'm just laughing.
Oh, boy, did I hate that. It wasn't that big a deal. Career achievement, the changing of the style of the game. It was bound to happen. Get over it.
Yeah, and of course,
the last one for me.
The last one?
A couple of seasons ago. You guys remember the term Dunk City?
Uh-huh.
You got a problem with Dunking? Florida Gulf Coast made a little run in the NCAA tournament, got moniker of Dunk City. Guys, they were bounced by Florida by 40 points in the Sweet 16. This wasn't George Mason toppling UConn and running to the Final Four. It was a Cinderella run to the Sweet 16. We see it every year. Can we stop talking about Andy Enfield and the job he did with Florida Gulf Coast, all right?
Well, you wasn't that big a deal. For real, you mad for real.
Wasn't that big a deal.
All right, that's his list. I still like Derek Jeter's gift box myself because I've heard it was overrated. Wasn't there some complaints about it? She got what? All right, we'll talk a little bit about what's ahead for the Braves next as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Where do we stand now with this pitching staff? What does Alex Anthopoulos do? All ahead and more headlines as we continue on this Tuesday on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, worldwide, radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.